So we begin this service in the name of God Transcendent, God Immanent, God Omnipresent, the Holy Living Trinity of Love. Amen. Well, welcome this morning on this third Sunday of Advent to the Church of Conscious Harmony. A special warm welcome to any guests or visitors here for the first time. And from our sanctuary to your sanctuary, wherever you might be and whenever you might watch this service, we send the love of God to you and our extended community in the cloud. Just a couple announcements for everyone's attention. We are continuing to invite you to ponder serving as a SAVA participant. There's five teams that serve once every 5 weeks. SAVA gets the sanctuary ready every Sunday morning and prepares the campus and gets some coffee ready for after the service. So it's a wonderful way to give back to the church, to serve the church that feeds you spiritually, and a wonderful way to meet new people, especially if you're new, and to get connected that way. You can call the church office if you would like to serve your community in this way. We have one more Lux Divina, our Advent Vespers, which is coming up this Friday, the 17th. That begins at 7 o'clock. It's in person only. It's a very sacred service, chant, Eucharist, a quietness of centering prayer. If you're feeling overwhelmed or busy, rushed this Advent season, I really encourage you to make a date on Friday night here with God at 7 o'clock in the sanctuary. It's very meaningful. Well, you might be also wondering about the church's offerings for Christmas time. Next Thursday night is the traditional Glorious Impossible, which is the way we celebrate a children's and adult Christmas pageant. It's going to be sacred, beautiful here in the sanctuary. It will be broadcast live. That happens at 7 o'clock next Thursday, December 16th. Christmas Eve service does happen at 6 o'clock, so that's something to mark for your calendar. The Christmas Eve service will last no longer than an hour for your planning, just a beautiful sacred evening that will include Eucharist and a time together here with beautiful Christmas carols, homily, and scripture readings. Then also just to encourage everyone to look at your bulletin and the website. There are two new class offerings posted already for 2022 that you can register for. One is the Beelzebub's Tales that's continuing from the fall session. The other is the Meditations on the Tarot class that's also continuing. I encourage you to read those offerings and participate. You do not have to have participated in the fall offering to start the spring offering, or the winter offering, I should say, although it's kind of spring here in January anyway. As a reminder, the bulletin is here for you as a spiritual resource to take with you. And also, if you're new or wondering what we're singing, all the lyrics are printed in the bulletin. So they're very simple chants, they're very simple songs. You can pick them up very quickly. But if you're wondering what we're saying while we sing, you can just look at the bulletin. It's so good to see each of you here in the sanctuary for this beautiful day of worship. So encouraged on this cold morning that anyone comes to church. So we will be warmed by the love of God. What brings you here today? What's going on in your life? Where do you need to intersect with the Word of God, the love of God, the light of God more and more? Let's take a moment that each of us would receive what we need, that we would receive even what we don't know we need, and that our brothers and sisters beside us and beyond us would receive and give what they are receiving and giving today. May it be so. Amen.
Please join us in invoking the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Please stand and join us in singing the gospel, and one word is love.
Chapters 10 through 18. And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love.
Get to the scripture reading in just a moment, but thought we would begin with a conversation with Renee. I want to say your last name correctly. Sinike. Yeah,
yes.
So it's, you have to be careful when a last name begins with sin. Yes, Sinike.
Oh, and that plays into my history too.
Well, for those of you who weren't here last week, we began just 3 weeks focusing a little bit on spotlighting the Journey School. And last week, Joe Quintasella was here sharing a little bit about his journey and also particularly the importance of the work partner relationship that the Journey School offers. And today Renee Sinecki is here, and Renee is a new member at the church. She's connected to the church by way of the internet for the first time and then moved here. But I'm not going to tell her story. We'll let Renee tell a little bit of your story. So just share with the community, if you don't mind, a little bit, how did you connect with us and what brought you here?
Okay. Well, 2012, I had my first intersection with CCH. I had just gotten out of the Army with the 101st Airborne as a chaplain, their token female chaplain. And I came to Austin. Something was drawing me here. I had contacted Contemplative Outreach. I was a longtime practitioner of centering prayer. And they had told me of the Wednesday service, although I was still doing things with my denomination that required my time on Sundays and Wednesdays. And I snuck out a few times, came to CCH, and was like, oh, this is also some of the stuff that I'd read in the writings of Cynthia Bourgeau and of the Gurdjieff work. And I found that very intriguing and began following CCH online then. And as the offerings evolved in 2019, when the Spiritual Journey program began, I immediately jumped on that opportunity and have been in the same time slot of a journey group for the last 3 years.
Mm. Same leader? Facilitator.
Same group facilitator, mm-hmm. And there's one other individual that made that 3-year journey with us, although we will all be moving in different directions for this coming year, and we had a couple of others that did 2 of those years with us.
So you connected first with the spiritual program that we did.
Yes.
And then we
Thomas Keating.
Took the Keating's resources. Mm-hmm. And then last year, 2020, we started the Journey School.
Correct.
Which was online. So that's really unusual that you were in the same journey group.
Yes.
So tell us what your experience of the journey group is.
I wouldn't be sitting here right now if it hadn't been for that journey group, and in particular, my journey group facilitator recognizing the hunger that I had for the combination of the Gurdjieff work with God devotion.
Mm.
And I was already in the work. I was living in rural New Hampshire, living a spiritual, religious hermit life, and for almost 6 years in the silence and solitude there, and delving into the Gurdjieff work with the Boston Gurdjieff group, and there was something very profound and different having that enveloped in God devotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see that difference. I was met by my journey group facilitator seeing that and grabbing hold of that and encouraging me along, mm-hmm. until a year ago, posing a wondering question as to whether it was time to move out of the silence and solitude and back into community life. And it was met with a resounding, profound no. There was the instinctual center went into overdrive. I can still access that energy of the crystallization that was there, that was forming that no in that moment. And the softness, the warmth, the opening into love that just started melting some of that crystallization. And then both you and Marianne also held that wish for me as it began to unfold, as well as a good friend that's a nun at Bennett Hill Monastery up in Colorado there.
Mm-hmm. So, and here you are. You moved to Austin this year.
Labor Day. Yes.
And you landed. So, I mean, it's very, we don't expect every remote participant to move to Austin, but
no.
We just want to make that clear. But clearly, you're a unique being. You've had some unique suffering in your life. You have formation, ministerial-wise. You're in a doctoral program. You've been a caregiver. You've been a minister to many people.
Correct.
So you come with the being that is a witness that your being draws your life, and people with magnetic center feel the difference, feel what's happening, feel the gift of what the Journey School is. Now, the Journey School is totally imperfect, but it is fruitful in our lives. And I don't know if you just want to talk a little bit about that kind of fruitfulness for you. How has
Absolutely.
The Journey Group been fruitful for you?
Yeah, well, the first thing that I really want to just say to everybody is none of us have ever been this way before. And that's something that we need to hold and recognize, that this whole thing of unfolding of the Journey School, the Journey Groups, the work partners, it's different. And there have been profound beings that have poured into so many of you in this local setting, and that has been completely evident. As I've been watching you, and the Thomas Keatings, the Wayne Teasdales, the Bernadette Roberts, Tim Cook, Barbara Cook, and they didn't do it so we could run off to another teacher. They didn't do it so we could attach ourselves and identify ourselves looking for that next person to follow. They did it so you could all stand, that you could all be those ones, those lights, those beacons for all those other people that are out there in the remote world that are longing and hungering to connect. You can be, as my Journey Group facilitator was for me, that person that recognizes that hunger. And that's all in you. So we haven't been this way before. And we don't know what's going to happen. And we all hold that, and just opening ourselves with love, hospitality, compassion for those people. Because it's changed my life. It's literally upended everything. And I am so grateful for so many of you that sat on screen with me for the last few years, and for those that have reached out and offered hospitality.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful. And it's neat to see how the Spirit works, because that what you just shared was really the homily for today.
Okay.
Yeah. So the technology, I think the way you put that is really profound. You know, we've never been this way before. But the technology is something, truthfully, that I am certainly really ambivalent about and reluctant to ponder what it means for a contemplative community to have cameras in the sanctuary and for us to be producing a worship service. And the Journey School is a little different. It turns out that our Thursday class, which was the origin of the Journey School, essentially, we transformed the Thursday class. The Thursday class was always available in terms of an audio format. People could get it online a couple days after it happened. But with the Journey School, we thought we would allow our remote participants to participate in the Thursday class live from the sanctuary. And we had the thought in the first several classes, there was 100, 125 people in the room here, and we had the thought that, you know, our remote participants, we had no idea in January 2020 that we would so desperately need the camera on for the pandemic. And so it turned out that all of us going onto the screen for the Journey School was all the more intimate, all the more connecting, all the more present because we got to see each other's faces. Now, those of you in the back rows are seeing the back heads of others, and that's basically what the Thursday night class was. We couldn't see each other's faces. So when it comes to the Journey School, the camera has, in my mind, has connected us in a very profound way and made it easier to get to know you, get to know each other in this way, and I think that's really interesting. It's a whole new way of being. And I wonder how this will unfold too. There's no explanation for it other than just to trust. So what's your, now that you're here.
Yes.
You know, what do you wish for from the Journey School? What are you doing here?
Yeah, that's a good question. My wish is the deeper immersion into the Gurdjieff work and further opening into love.
Mm-hmm.
And that succinctly is it, as well as the relational components of having fellow sojourners
mm-hmm.
to share the journey with. To be able to use all the experiences that I've had along the way in this community,
mm-hmm.
near and far.
Amen. To share your gifts. I think that sense of community is what is most sacred about, if I could just say most sacred about this place, is that we are together and we do experience community versus so many people around the country and around the world. Like you, were attracted and want this. They can't, wherever they live, it's not possible, or they have to travel a long distance.
Okay.
So this is really a special gift that we have, and to be this community, to be a part of community in person is a real gift. And your evaluation and your coming here, it says a lot about that mm-hmm. to me. And you're one of many in the tradition of people who have left places to come to mm-hmm. the church and gave up a lot to do so. Like Donald and Alicia Janung, I think they're the most well-known story among us who left everything to come and study with Tim. Is there anything else on your heart that you'd like to share with us today?
That, what you were just referring to, community, that accumulator that has been built here that I know Marianne has referenced many times in our Journey School, that can be felt. I had one point of intersection that someone from my Journey group in 2019 in September visited me up in New Hampshire because they were up there seeing a sibling. And other than that, I had put my house on the market and closed on it, and less than 24 hours later, I landed in Austin to look for a place. And I can tell you that time in between, before I actually made flesh-to-flesh contact with people here, you can feel that accumulator remotely. So how people here show up in Journey School and in the Journey groups, it matters. It really does. There's something that transcends energetically of that accumulator. And yes, you can feel it stepping onto this campus. You can also experience it remotely. And so for the people that are remote and you haven't taken that step forward, and you might be wondering even some of the experiences that you've had they are real and they can be felt. And it's worth the risk and the investment of time, because there are people here that will reach out and will love you into the work and into that space of development and inner transformation.
So that's beautiful, and I mean, it's really encouraging to hear that, because I don't. That's not my experience, certainly on Sunday morning sitting here, but I'm encouraged to hear that. And I wonder, I always say, you know, turn your cameras on. At the same time, I understand that people, we're in our homes. There's family life going on. There's animal life going on. So. People are in their beds or bedrooms. It's an intimate setting when we're at home. So I understand the need sometimes for the camera being off, but the camera being on made a big difference for me, and I think for all of us, when we can see you. For example, I got to know you on the camera in Scriptorium. You shared in the Journey School. You didn't share a whole lot in Journey School, but we saw you, we got to know you, and there is something energetic about someone's face, even on a screen. Mm-hmm. Turn your cameras on. It's very, very encouraging for all of us to see one another's face.
A strange thing with that I was actually referencing with Haley is when you're remote, you don't know who's married to who in this congregation unless you show up in the square together. I've been here, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I would have never have guessed that on screen. So there's been a lot of interesting things with the translation from remote to in-person.
Yes, and we didn't know you were so tall.
Yes, exactly.
But you're right. I mean, a lot of the couples are on separate cameras, so that there's a few couples that do share, which I think is sweet, but... Yeah, there's so much about the community that it's kind of a little bit one-dimensional on the screen. So, what was the? Give us a little sense of the mechanics of a journey. I mean, of a journey group, of your mm-hmm. journey group gathering weekly. What's that like for those of you who don't even know what a journey group is? A journey group is a group of about 6 to 8, maybe 10 people at the most, usually less, who meet weekly and ponder the lesson for the week from the Journey School, which is the big group gathering on Thursday. So what happens on a Journey Group gathering?
Our Journey Group was different each of the 3 years. I mean, profoundly different. Even though there were 3 of us that made the journey all 3 years together. Our facilitator had it where we rotated around as to who facilitated, which was wonderful because it gave us the opportunity to do our inner work of being in that uncomfortable spot if that's not something we were accustomed to. So it can be all different things depending on the facilitator. We had the opportunity to share from our work of the homework exercises that are in a weekly email. And we got to be able to hear that there are others struggling with the same things we're working on, and to just be real about it. There's a level of transparency. I think one of the things for me that repeatedly has been a theme this year was the basic core of goodness, of seeing that in people's hearts and eyes as you're sharing, as they're sharing, and to know that what you're saying is going to be held as a deeply profound treasure.
Yes. Yes, journey groups are a place of have the great possibility in our community, and that transparency and vulnerability is key. The difference between a support group and a journey group, how would you describe that difference?
There's a focus that centers around the weekly email. So there's the ability to share without it being pulled down into a lot of nitty-gritty things on the level of life. There's something to try to point the direction towards the higher energies, towards spirit.
Mm-hmm. Without giving people advice or telling
them
something.
Yeah, without the advice mm-hmm. giving and whatnot.
Yeah. Thank you. So, yeah, this the work partner component of the Journey School, the Journey group partner component of the Journey School, and then the Thursday night component, which is, and then there's, of course, the email. So different levels of access and participation in the Journey School. And really, just welcome. You know, it's so heartening to, your journey is so heartening to me personally. And it's a reminder to all of us that God loves this church, you know, that this is God's church, and we don't really need to worry about what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. We just give our attention to God, do our work, and we're a small community, and that's a beautiful thing, but we're a fruitful community, and we play our little role, and God takes care of us. God takes care of us by bringing us beautiful beings who can contribute back and be a part of this life-giving gathering that we are. So being on camera is wonderful, but being together, you know, something really unique. And is there anything you can share about that, just that nuance of the feeling that you have being here?
Yeah, I have learned so much. Marianne actually did a very wise thing. She does many wise things, but there was one in particular that right before my experience translated from remote into local, we had a Zoom meeting, and as much as it was probably interesting and helpful for her to gather from me, my experience from a strictly remote setting, it was equally enriching for myself to have that time to reflect on what had been my remote experience, because as soon as I showed up, everything changed.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a translation. There's much I'm learning. There's much that Jim and Becky Motes, we have spoken, and they've been learning about that translation from remote to local.
Mm-hmm.
And there is something beautiful. I love being with folks where we can just immediately, on the drop of a dime, dive in to this deeper level in our conversation, that we don't have to stay on the surface of what's happening on the World 48, and we can just go, okay, let's go to that next place. So I'm so grateful for that. And I'm also so grateful for the technology teams that have put things up online. Those classes and the commentaries, I devoured those. I had one of my very first experiences showing up here and skirting around the hurricane to make my way here with the U-Haul and a car carrier on the back. I show up, I'm all grubby and smelly and no makeup and in my old Army PT uniform. And who shows up to help me unload the U-Haul but someone whose voice I had heard repeatedly in those classes on the commentaries, whose words would rise up to me on many occasions in day-to-day life. There with a bunch of pastries and a coffee. What a great first meeting, you know. I was so unbelievably grateful for both her and her spouse. One of my Journey group members showed up as well, and we did that all together. So it was a beautiful introduction.
Yeah, a new beginning for you, and welcome, soft landing.
This has been... yeah, there's a lot of story behind all that, but as this octave is closing of the relocation process here, and I'm trying to do repairs and get set up, house and home, and looking forward to the next octave here as 2022 begins.
Yeah. Welcome so much and so grateful for your sharing. And let's just send a blessing to our dear Renee and just bless you and for the courage you had to make this journey, for listening to the Spirit's leading. And may you find everything you need and wish for in this community and in Austin. May it be a fruitful home for you. And may your gifts come to bear here in our community and beyond. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you very much. I don't think there's much more to say, but I did want to draw a connection to what you were talking about in terms of this notion of looking for a teacher, wanting a teacher. And if you want a teacher and you are ready for a teacher will show up. That's so lawful. And there are teachers all around. And people know their teachers, and some people don't know their teachers. And some people really want a teacher. They feel incomplete without a teacher. Some people don't even want a teacher, but they're given teachers. Some people are teachers and don't even realize it. I mean, so teachers are all around. Life is a teacher. The question that was posed in the gospel reading today, that the people are asking and they're wondering in their hearts, are you the Messiah? They asked John the Baptist this. Are you the Messiah? So there's this natural propensity for us to want to know and figure out, are you my teacher? Are you super special? Do you have something to give me that I don't have? And it's very important to realize how John answers that question. The first thing is that the Hebrew word Messiah is translated into Greek with the word Christos. Christ comes into English as Christ. So they were asking, the Jewish people were asking, are you the Messiah, the one we're expecting who will liberate us from the powers of Rome and free us to be a nation again, dedicated to God devotion? Are you the one who's promised of old? Are you our Messiah? And it's very interesting because a lot of times we translate that, are you the Christ? And we get confused about this thing called, you know, Christ consciousness, and we all say, well, I'm Christ, you're Christ, we're all Christ. And John the Baptist gives us some real wisdom here. He says, no, I am not the Messiah. I am not the Christ. And this is so useful to us because to a certain extent, yes, there is this Christ consciousness, but we are not Christ. I am not the Messiah. You're not the Messiah. You're not Christ. I'm not Christ. There's a truth in that, and we can't lose touch with that truth. And this makes Christmas so special and sacred because I'm not the Christ. No, the Christ is coming, and that when that Christ comes, that Christ is higher than me. That Christ is more complete than me. That Christ has a higher level of being than me. I baptize with water. The Christ is going to come and baptize with spirit and fire. So it's this recognition of scale that all of us can learn from on our spiritual journeys, especially during Advent. Like, no, I am not the Christ. I need the Christ. I do need a teacher. I need someone who's higher than me. I need someone who can reveal to me truth and wisdom in the evolutionary development of my life. So hungering for a teacher is in right order. But the fundamental truth is that Jesus, the living Christ, is our teacher. He's the Lord. And this is what we celebrate at Christmas, is that the Messiah did come. That's what we say as Christians. The Messiah did manifest in and through the person Jesus. And that's a really great place for all of us to look at and to start at this being named Jesus who manifested so much for us. John the Baptist knew it. Now, it's very interesting because John the Baptist plays the role of being the one who recognizes that God is doing a new thing. And that's a really important role for prophets to play. They are the first ones to recognize that God's doing a new thing. And because they're the first ones who recognize God's doing a new thing, they oftentimes don't get treated very well. They get fired. They get killed. John the Baptist leaps in Elizabeth's womb. John the Baptist recognizes that this is Mary's voice, this is Jesus, that John the Baptist is the first to recognize, and he's the first to declare it, "Behold, this is the Son of God," and he baptizes Jesus. So all this is in the story, right? But the story is trying to communicate spiritual principles that we recognize our teacher, and our hearts feel that recognition. And in our community, we've evolved beyond a teacher-focused community. We're not a teacher-centric community anymore. I am not a teacher. I am not a guru. I am not the same as Tim Cook. I don't wish to be that. I don't aspire to that. That's never been my purpose, my desire. That's not what I'm about. I am a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, ordained in the Presbyterian Church. That's what I've given my life to, called by this board of directors to serve you as your minister. I am a minister. It's different than a teacher, although I do teaching. And so what this means is that there has been an evolution in our community, a very critical moment of whether it was a mi-fa octave or a new octave altogether, a new do, where many of us had to ponder the question, am I okay not having a teacher? Do I want a teacher? Can we continue on without a teacher? And I don't know, you know, how you've answered that, but it seems to be working, generally. You know, COVID's been messing with us, but it does seem to be working, that God's favor is upon the community. So the Journey School, and you're a fruit of the Journey School, you're a witness to it, Joe is a witness to it, so many of you are a witness to the Journey School. The Journey School is an evolution of this confluence of things. These waves coming together. If you've ever studied wave physics, you just look at a wave when you throw several pebbles into a pond. All the waves converge, but they remain the same. They converge in relationship, but they still retain their structure, their wave structure. They don't lose themselves to the other wave. And this beautiful confluence of waves is the Journey School. Multiple traditions, as you spoke so beautifully of, multiple teachers, multiple presenters, multiple beings bearing their fruit to each other, to one another. So this has really become, shall we say, a wisdom school, a community committed to wisdom and not a person anymore. And this is crucial for the future of the Journey School's success and fruitfulness, that we are a community committed to wisdom seeking, God devotion, and a community of teachers together, that we teach one another, that we share with one another. This is essentially the wish, and it's a continuation of the experiment that Tim and Barbara started. Their experiment manifested in these ways. Our experiment is manifesting in these ways, and it seems to bear fruit. It bears fruit in my life. The Journey School bears fruit in my life. It bears fruit in your life. You know, I feel your warmth toward your journey here, and so many of you, I know it's been a blessing. The Journey School is imperfect, and if it were only so easy that we had a prophet show up and say, "This is the way. I am not the Christ. This is the way. There he is." You know, but that's not the time of history we live in. We live in a totally different time where we're called to be the continuing incarnation of the Christ. So we don't become Christ. Jesus is the Christ. But we become continuing participants in what Jesus started. And Jesus also was in divine order because he always pointed to the Father. The Father is in me and I am in the Father. I have come from the Father. He spoke of it in terms of that divine order, that he was under the authority of something as well. And yet he gave to us that Spirit. And he said, "I will not leave you or forsake you. I will give you my Spirit so you can continue on being the living community that has been initiated by my presence on this planet." And that living community continues to this day. 2,000 years later, the tree of Christ continues to bear fruit. It's not a perfect tree. There's a lot of rot in the tree in different ways. But it's a fruitful tree. It's a living tree, and we're a part of that. And really, this is the Christmas tree. That this is the living tree of Christ. It's the real Christmas tree, that we are a part of it, each of its branches woven together to the root, which is God, the ground of our being. So I hope that you feel some degree of encouragement today, whatever it is, wherever you are on the journey. And a special encouragement and gratitude to Renee for blessing us with the word of the Lord in this special way that spoke to my heart. So let's take a moment in the silence. You've heard what's been said. What is landing for you, and what needs to take root in your life, and what is it that Spirit is doing now for you? Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to our chant song, Praise God. It's in your bulletin if you're wondering what the lyrics are.
Let us now rest for 10 minutes of silence and centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives. Amen.
Most gracious and loving Creator God of the heavens and the earth, giver of this and every moment, we thank you for the gifts of this community and how each of us are blessed by being together today in this new way. We pray in this moment from this table, intersecting time and eternity, for the healing of Jerry with heart failure, for Helen Von Miller's healing today, for the Pittman family, for our youth program and its leaders. And we give thanks for the healing of Marty Evans and his ongoing journey in health. We pray for all who have suffered devastation. We pray for all who are in need of income, all who are in need of the touch of divine grace from above. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray that lets us know and be certain that you always hear an answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This time I invite you to uncap your plastic items and recap them. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise, He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me. This is the blood of Christ for us all." Living in eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way, the truth, and the life, and we're grateful to share in your body and blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Creator, for the glory of God's work here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship with Amazing Grace. So great to see all the kids here, and your presence is so joyful this time of year. Let's take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hearts or hands, whether we give electronically or online or by mail or here in the basket of the church. Let's remember and declare this truth over our lives and all our beloveds. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully, and how blessed we are to simply remember God. It's so good to be together in the body of Christ, to be face to face. Bless you for participating online. Just an announcement that we will return to processing forward to receive communion on Sunday, December 26th. It's a real joy. We'll just be sharing the Eucharist, and there will not be the wine available at this time, but it's a beautiful adaptation for all of us to come forward again to receive the Eucharist in a sanitary way, so I promise. The love of God, the grace of Christ, the peace, power, and the presence of the Holy Spirit are your teacher now and always.